on It's Supernatural. Serial killer Son of Sam wrote a letter threatening to kill this man if they ever met. See what happens when they do.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. And do you realize, just as I'm doing this introduction, God is beginning to heal people in their back and in their neck and in their hip. God is such a good God. My guest, Don Dickerman, he looks like a nice, normal person, but you have prayed for approximately how many people that have been set free from evil spirits and curses?
You know, through our one-on-one deliverance ministry and corporate deliverance ministry, probably over 25,000.
You just don't look like someone that said 25,000. And not only that, most of them are in prison. You went to something like 700 prisons, and you would tell people about God. They would have genuine experiences with God, and they get out of prison, and you would be happy, and the next thing you'd know, they'd be back in prison. This must have been very discouraging for you.
You know, it was, and not that I felt like a failure, but I couldn't understand why guys would get genuinely born again, fall in love with Jesus, read their Bible, go to Bible studies, get out of prison, and only make it 5 or 6 months, and they're right back in the cycle. And that became so frustrating. I remember praying about it many times, like, God, what am I missing? What?
There was one particular time that you prayed a very special prayer about being a deliverer.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I was in Galveston after some prison services, and I told my wife I was just going to take a couple of days to fish and relax. But I remember one afternoon coming in from the fishing piers, and frustrated, I just climbed up in the middle of the motel bed and wept. But I remember in that prayer, I asked God, why can't I be a deliverer?
You didn't even know what you were saying, did you?
No, no. But my heart was sincere. Is why can't I get people out of bondage? What am I missing? And no, I didn't know when I said deliverer what was ahead.
That it was literal. Yeah. So you went to a prison, and one of the workers there had a vision about you. Tell me about that.
This was probably 6 months later. I was preaching in a federal prison down in Three Rivers, Texas, below San Antonio. And there was an officer seated in the chapel, which is pretty unusual. He was with the inmates. And after the service, he came up to me and made some conversation. He told the officer on duty, who was stationed in the chapel, he said, I'll walk him to his car. I want to talk to him. So we headed across the prison grounds and just talked about where he went to church and so on, that he was studying for the ministry. That's why he was off duty. He came to the chapel because he's going to be a Christian counselor, and is now in the prison system. But after we had prayer on the parking lot, I left to go back to Corpus Christi, where I was staying, and he was going back to Beeville. Well, so we're on the same road without knowing it. And I pulled over to a little gas station grocery store to get a Dr. Pepper and some Fritos or something before I headed to Corpus Christi. Well, he pulls up right behind me, and he gets out of his car like he's T.D. Jakes or something. He's just bouncing, you know, like, get ready, get ready, get ready. Well, he came over to the side of the car and motioned for me to let the window down. And he had so much excitement in his voice. But he said, while you were preaching, I had a vision of a big black pot, and you were standing in the middle of this pot, and there was oil bubbling all around you. So not boiling, just bubbling. And he said, all around this pot, there was just a sea of sick people. And the stench from their sickness was nauseating as it went up into the heavens. But he said, then that oil began to bubble up and covered you. And he said, as it ran down your arms and touched the people that were healed, and he said, get ready, brother, God's fixing to pour it out on you. And I knew, I don't know how to explain.
I mean, but you come from a more evangelical Baptist type of background. Yeah. So this was kind of new for you.
Yeah, it was real new. Something I'd longed for. I'd seen thousands of people receive Christ in prisons. I mean, literally thousands. But I'd never seen anyone healed. I'd never seen anyone delivered.
Shortly after that, people, when you would speak, you wouldn't even pray for them. You didn't even know how to pray for them, and what would happen?
Well, you know, when I left the prison, I couldn't keep tears out of my eyes. But part of my prayer was, God, I don't know how to do this. They didn't teach me this, you know. But I would, and what I felt the Holy Spirit told me was, you just keep preaching. Well, I started getting letters from inmates who would tell me, I know you don't know this, but while you were preaching, heat just came all over me. And I used to have this, but I don't have it anymore. And so I began to see
people started falling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of unusual for a Baptist.
Yeah, it was. And sometimes guys would come up for the altar call, and before I would even touch them, they would fall.
The Spirit of God would just put them down on the ground.
Yeah. I knew what it was, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to make it happen. I didn't know how to not make it happen.
Well, I'll tell you what. When we come back in a moment, I want to find out about the first major healing that occurred with Don. And many of you, I mean, I can hear backs cracking into place right now. Necks, bones of all kinds are cracking into place. When we come back, you're going to find out about such an amazing miracle. But there is power in hearing someone else talk about a miracle. You're about ready to be healed. Yes, you. Be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Don Dickerman. And Don, you were more amazed than anyone when people started getting healed. But then you started having visions. And these, how many times, when you've had a vision from God, how accurate is it?
You know, I guess I have to say I don't have them very often. But every time something is revealed to me in a service situation, it happens.
Tell me about the first healing.
The first healing was in a, through a revelation, a vision, was at the Wynn unit in Huntsville, Texas. It's a big prison with maybe 400 people in the chapel, and there was a praise group singing before I was to get up and preach. And so I'm sitting off to the side, and I had just a mental image, but I could see an ugly, jagged-toothed rat inside someone's colon just gnawing away. And I didn't know, I'd never had anything like that happen. I didn't know what to do with it. I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me somebody was going to be healed of that situation. So when I got up to speak, I mentioned that. I revealed what I had seen, and I said, somebody here with that condition is going to be healed tonight. Well, an inmate jumped up and ran down the aisle, and he said, that's me, that's me. And I prayed for him, and he went back to his seat. But he wasn't the one. So at the close of the service, as the inmates were filing out back to their cell blocks and dorm areas, an inmate came up and put a note in my pocket. And he hung around as I was shaking hands with guys. And he said, "Sir, would you read that note right now?" So I pulled the note out and read it, and it said, "I'm the one." And then he began to tell me that he had just gotten back from John C. Lee Hospital, a medical place, and that they had diagnosed him with a colon problem, but said, "Since you're going home in a few months, it can wait till you get back in the free world." But he lifted up his shirt, and there was a knot on his right around his belt area. And I knew when he did, I knew that was it. It was like what I saw. And I said, "Well, I want to pray for you right now." I put my hand right on that spot and commanded the demon powers to leave him and healing to come. And he threw up blood and bile and, you know, an ugly situation. Mm. But the inmates, some other inmates went and got towels. They cleaned that up. I walked to the back door with him as he went back to his cell. He said, I don't have any pain." Well, I don't know who he is. And I leave the prison. He's back in his cell block. Mm-hmm. So it was next month when I was back at that prison, he met me at the chapel door. And first thing he did was lift up his shirt. And he said, "Brother Don, it's gone. I haven't had a pain since then."
You must have been as shocked and pleased and surprised him.
Yeah. Sometimes it overwhelms you because you know I didn't have anything to do with it.
Well, speaking of being overwhelmed, I am overwhelmed with your book because this is the most practical, easy. Someone doesn't deal with fear. Mm-hmm. They deal with rights, legal rights.
Legal rights, yeah.
And this is for someone that needs self-deliverance or someone that needs to pray for someone else. What are some of the signs that someone may need to be set free of a demonic spirit? It may be inside someone, it may be outside someone, it plain doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said, "Cast them out." So that's what we do, you know. And to me, it's pretty simple. But I find there's four principles involved, and these apply to anyone, anywhere. And the first principle is you either have demons or you don't. And if you do have demons, then it must be that demon has some kind of legal permission to be there. And that could be unforgiveness, it could be generational curse, it could be a number of things, but it must have permission. The third thing is there is no permission that cannot be canceled. We can repent of anything. Jesus, you know, his blood covers everything. And then the fourth principle is once those legal consents have been canceled, the name of Jesus is absolute authority every time.
And, you know, I mean, you have some insight in here. I guess it's been having so much experience one-on-one. But one of the things you said I've never heard before, I have heard it's very important to forgive. Because Jesus said, "I'll forgive you, same degree you forgive other people." However, I've never heard that once you forgive, you command the spirit that was attached to you because of the unforgiveness to leave. And so people forgive and they still have that oppression.
Yeah. You know, when I first encountered that, it was through, I don't have conversation with demons. I have confrontation with them. But they do speak many times through the individual. And I've had demons when I command them to leave. I say, "Do you have permission to stay there?" "No." I said, "Well, why are you there?" And the response would be, "No one ever told me to go." So they become like squatters. So I would find that somebody said, "Yeah, I had a period of unforgiveness in my life, 10 years ago, but I repented of that." Okay, but the demon's still hanging out. Because he wasn't cast out.
Well, you know, it's time for the squatters in your life to leave.
Yeah.
And it's so easy and so simple. And there is no fear involved. It's just plain faith in the integrity of someone stronger, your big brother, Jesus. Mm-hmm. When we come back, you're going to hear an interview I did with one of the most notorious prisoners in Ireland. I think he stabbed 15 people by the time he was age 14. Mm-hmm. By the time he was 17, he murdered someone. And this is such an amazing story. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Don Dickerman. Do you remember Son of Sam? David Berkowitz, the mass murderer from the New York area? Well, Don wrote a letter to David. And how did he respond to your letter while he was in prison?
Well, it's interesting. That was in 1978. He had just been sentenced, and I didn't know the guy. I just knew what the headlines in the papers were. But I'd seen people saved in prison, so I wrote David a letter, and I said, David, God still loves you, and Jesus can save you. And he wrote me right back and said, if I get out of here, I'll kill you.
Well, he didn't get out of there.
No, he won't get out.
But you went back into the prison to speak, and he came up to you. What did he tell you?
This was 10 years later. I was in his prison, not knowing he was there. But after the service, I didn't know what he looked like. After the service, he came up to me and put his arm around me. He said, I want you to know I appreciate you being faithful over these years, coming into these dark places with the light of the gospel. And he said, by the way, my name's David Berkowitz. And I could tell, I could look in his eyes and tell something happened. I said, David, are you saved? Are you born again? He said, yes, sir. I got saved a couple of years ago. And no one knew his story. He said, I know the media will get hold of it and they'll twist it. And but he said, yeah, I love Jesus.
And then you became friends. And one prisoner can't write to another prisoner. So he asked you to write to one of the most hardened prisoners in Ireland.
Right.
Tell me about that.
He had read in some paper about Eddie Ferncombe, the most notorious criminal in Ireland. And feared criminal. He said, would you write to this man and witness to him like you did to me? Well, of course I did. And over a period of several weeks of writing, Eddie accepted Christ by mail, you know. And he asked me if I had any tapes of services or teachings. He said, I have a little tape player. And can you send me some? So I gathered a handful of tapes and mailed them to Eddie. And he wrote me in a couple of weeks. I got a letter from him. On one of the tapes, I had done a corporate deliverance.
Just kind of silently address those issues in your mind and choose to be free from them. I'm going to bind them and very soon.
Well, so I sent him that tape, and he was listening to that tape, demons began to manifest in him. They couldn't be still, and he was trembling and sweating. And so he told his chaplain about it the next day and asked the chaplain if he'd help him. And he said, the chaplain laughed at me. Well, he asked me in the letter if I would consider coming to Ireland to minister deliverance. He said, I know what my problem is. Well, I didn't know how I'd get to Ireland, but I felt God's spirit telling me to go. So I went to Ireland and eventually met with Eddie and told Eddie, I said, you know what, there's a qualification. You can't have any unforgiveness in your life, because as we talked, I could sense he did. He said, I can't do that, Brother Don, I can't. He was going to kill the man that snitched on him. And that was his plan, to get out of prison and do that. And I said, Eddie, I can't help you if you can't forgive. Well, I went back 2 days later, and he came out with a big smile on his face. We're in a super isolation area. He's got four officers escorting him, and he's in waist chains and ankle chains and handcuffs. But he had this big smile on his face, and he said...
But what did the prison think about you going there?
They couldn't understand why I was there, and I wasn't sure I could explain it to them. But
I mean, I came to set someone free of a demon.
one officer who was escorting me back to that area, and it's like a dungeon. It's where they kept the IRA prisoners in Port Leash, Ireland. He said, "Are you like David Wilkerson?" Well, I knew what he meant. I said, "Yeah, I am. I know what you're." He said, "Well, you're welcome here, lad." Well, then we went back to Eddie's area. They had a glass, plexiglass booth where an officer sat to overlook the,
right,
to make sure that, you know, nothing went wrong. And so while they're bringing Eddie back to that area, I looked at that officer and I thought, I don't know what he's going to think if Eddie screams or, you know, makes some kind of noise. So I went over and tapped on the glass and I said, "Sir, I just want to explain to you what I'm here for, what I'm going to do." And I explained the deliverance process. And as I was warning him of what might happen, he said, "Help yourself, lad, help yourself." And Eddie came in and we sat down across from each other, just like you and I are. And he said, I did it, Brother Don, I forgave. And you could see in his eyes that it was real. So we went through the process of just binding demons and commanding them to leave, and they did. And Eddie's been out of prison now for...
I tell you what, he's been out for how long?
I think for maybe 6 years.
Well, I caught up with Eddie, and he is out of prison, and I interviewed him by way of radio, and I asked him some questions about what it was like to be set free of these evil spirits. Let's go to that audio interview. What was it like before you went through deliverance?
I was just on a roll to destruction. I was very violent, very evil.
Describe to me what you felt like right after you went through deliverance.
Oh, I felt peace straight away. Peace. I was in a bad place at that time, in mentally. But after the deliverance, everything just kind of lifted.
And you also told me you felt really drunk in the spirit. Explain that.
Yeah, I was actually giddy, happy.
Imagine that. This is what he said to me. He said, when I said, "What's it feel like?" He says, "It feels like I'm stoned." He was so, here he is in the worst prison of prisons with no hope for any right. future, hating, just wanted to get out to murder another person.
Right.
And he feels the love of God. God is so good.
Yes, he is. And you know what, we see that all the time, not to that extreme, but when someone's in bondage and they're freed, while it may be relative, it's freedom nonetheless. And my experience is that most Christians are in some kind of bondage.
Either they're oppressed
yeah.
or they have some sort of addictive part of their personality.
Yeah, and generally, I think the rule of thumb is a question I get a lot is, how do you know if it's the flesh or how do you, sometimes you can't know, but when it becomes irrational anger, irrational fears, anything's to the extremes, generally that's a demon spirit.
And you know, one thing I read, which was interesting, even fear that God isn't going to forgive you of your sins. That
oh, yeah.
is demonic. I'll tell you something. I am so excited to make his new book available to you because it's so simple. And you know, the only fear you have of a demon is the fear the demon gives you. Mm-hmm. And when you have faith and you understand that demon is far more afraid of you than you're afraid of
yeah.
that demon,